The Ambrosial Song of God, Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 4. Gyan Yoga, Gyan Vibhaga Yoga, Divine Communion through Cultivation of Spiritual Wisdom. In the Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Dattatreya spoke, like the water of holy rivers, at places of pilgrimage. The self-realized sage is of a pure, sweet, and gentle nature. And likewise, such a self-realized sage purifies all those who come in contact with him, see him, and revere him. Shri Bhagavan said, Arjun, I imparted the imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivishwan. Vivishwan imparted it to Vaivashvata Manu, and Manu imparted it to King Ikshvaku. Thus receive through disciplic succession this science of linking with the Supreme was known by the saintly kings. But over a long period of time here in this world, it was lost. O Parantapa Arjun, this ancient science of yoga is today imparted by me to you, since you are my devotee and my friend. This esoteric teaching is indeed supreme. Arjun said, your birth was later, and Vivishwan's birth was prior to yours. How am I to understand that in the beginning you imparted this teaching to him? Bhagavan Sri Krishna said, though many births both you and I have passed, O Arjuna, I know all of them, but you do not, O Parantapa. Although I am unborn and imperishable, and although I am the Lord of all beings, I appear by my own divine potency to govern my own property, the material creation. Whenever and wherever there is a decrease of righteousness, O descendant of Bharat, and a rise in unrighteousness, at that time I reveal myself. For the purpose of delivering the virtuous and destroying the wicked, and to reestablish righteousness, I advent in each of the four ages of the universal time cycle. One who thus knows in truth the transcendent nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving his body, take birth in another material body, but he comes to me, O Arjuna, being fully absorbed in thinking of me and taking refuge, full refuge in me. Many persons, purified by the austerity of cultivating wisdom, and whose passion, fear, and anger have thus departed, have attained the same state of pure eternal existence, full of unlimited freedom, cognizance, and bliss, which is my state of being. Humankind everywhere follows one of the paths established by me, O son of Pritha. And for whatever reason one takes refuge in me, I reward him accordingly. Desiring success in obtaining earthly rewards for their activities, the inhabitants of this world worship the celestial denizens. Quickly indeed does humankind obtain success from prescribed ritual sacrifices. The system of harmonious cooperation among the four branches of human society, whereby each person's participation is based upon their particular qualities and activities, was created by me. Yet you should know that although I am the creator of this system, I am eternally above obligatory participation within it. There are no activities which contaminate me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become bound up by his actions. Knowing this, truth seekers in ancient times performed activities in pursuit of liberation. Therefore, Arjuna, you should also perform prescribed action as have the ancients. What is action, you may ask? What is inaction? Even the greatest sages are confused in this matter. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you will be liberated from all misfortune. The nature of action is indeed difficult to understand, but one should know what action is, what wrong action is, and what inaction is. One who perceives inaction in action and action in inaction is most intelligent among humankind, and he is connected to the divine while performing all of his activities. One who has excluded lustful purposes from his every endeavor, thus burning up his karma in the fire of wisdom, the wise declare him to be most learned. Abandoning all attachment to the fruits of activity, ever satisfied and not dependent on those fruits for his satisfaction, even when engaging in action, such a person, in effect, does nothing at all. Feeling neither personal attraction nor aversion toward anything of this world, abandoning all intentions to acquire possessions and performing actions solely with the body, while his mind is controlled by the self, such a person never incurs evil. One who is content with gain which comes of its own accord, who has transcended all dualities and is free from envy, and who is mentally steady in both success and failure, even though performing actions, such a person is never bound by them. One who is free from worldly attachment, whose every thought is firmly situated in wisdom, and whose every action is undertaken solely as a sacrifice, he is a liberated soul whose karma becomes completely dissolved. Brahman is the offering of clarified butter, and Brahman is the oblation poured out by Brahman into the fire of Brahman. Indeed, Brahman alone is attained by one who remains absorbed in seeing Brahman alone in all actions. Some yogis offer grains and ghee into the sacrificial fire kindled for the celestials alone, while others offer the very self as a sacrifice into the fire of the Supreme Brahman. Those practicing celibacy offer their senses of hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, and smelling into the sacrificial fire of self-restraint, while those with spouse, home, and the like offer the objects of sense pleasure, such as sound, as a sacrifice into the controlled fires of the senses. Others offer all the functions of the senses as well as those of the vital life breath into the fire of yogic self-control, which is kindled by wisdom. Those who sacrifice their worldly possessions, those whose sacrifice is offered by performing austerities, those who offer sacrifice by practicing meditation, and those whose sacrifice is in the form of studying and reciting the Vedas in pursuit of wisdom, all such persons are considered to be ascetics adhering to strict vows. Some yogis offer their incoming vital breath into their outgoing abdominal breath, and their outgoing breath into their incoming breath, intent upon controlling both pathways of air and attaining the state of breathlessness. Others, reducing or restricting their intake of food, offer their incoming vital breath into itself as a sacrifice. All these different knowers of sacrifice have their evils destroyed by their respective sacrifices. Those who taste the nectar remnants of sacrifice go to the infinite Brahman. For one who performs no sacrifice, there is no place even in this world. How then could there be so in the other? Thus sacrifices are of many different kinds, all disseminated through the mouth of the Supreme Brahman. You should know them all to be born of action, or by knowing them as such, you will become liberated. Better than sacrifice of material possessions is the sacrifice in the pursuit of wisdom. O chastiser of the enemy, O son of Prita, all actions, without exception, culminate in some type of wisdom. Know this by bowing respectfully, inquiring submissively, and rendering service unto those who are seers of the truth. You will have divine wisdom imparted to you by those self-realized souls. Upon obtaining such divine self-knowledge, you will never again fall into delusion, O son of Pandu, for you will see all living beings within me, who am within the souls of all living beings who are within me. Even if you were the most sinful of all sinners, you would cross over the ocean of sin in the boat of divine wisdom. As a blazing fire reduces firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of divine wisdom burn to ashes all of one's karma. Certainly no purifier equal to transcendental wisdom is to be found in this world. One who thus attains perfection yoga finds in due course of time that this wisdom is contained within the self. One who possesses complete faith and devotion and subdues his senses obtains the supreme wisdom, and having obtained that wisdom, he very quickly attains the supreme peace. But one who invests no faith, who remains ignorant and full of doubts, he is a lost soul. For the doubting soul, there is no happiness, neither in this world nor beyond it. One who renounces actions through yoga, whose doubts are cut away by wisdom, who calmly abides in the self, he is never bound up by any actions, O conqueror of wealth. Therefore, the doubts dwelling in your heart due to a lack of self-knowledge should be cut away with your own sword of wisdom. Stand up and pursue yoga, O descendant of Bharat. Thus ends the fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, entitled Gyan Yoga, Divine Communion Through Cultivation of Spiritual Wisdom.